Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
You're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 513. I'm Amy Matheny, and though I'm a quarter Irish, I cannot imagine hopping on the L at 9:30 a.m. on Saturday or Sunday. Mostly it was Saturday. If you were hopping on the L at 9:30 on Sunday, it was probably a walk of shame. In like a long sleeve t-shirt in freezing Chicago heading to a parade. I just don't get it. Is this a straight gay thing? I don't know. I was just, there were like guys and girls with no coats on and, but some, you know, grass is green Irish t-shirt or long sleeve shirt even. I mean, I don't know. Is it a long sleeve shirt? Meaning you're really very practical and understand that it's freezing in Chicago in mid-March. I guess the beer keeps you warm or something. I don't know. But Erin Go Brath, I hope you're all alive and healthy and okay and in one piece after your shenanigans. Because what else could you call them but St. Patrick's shenanigans? Shenanigans. Green hearts. Blue stars. Yellow clover. I don't know. Whatever the colors are. Those of many of you probably are maybe too young to even know Lucky Charms commercials. Anyhow, so happy St. Patrick's Day on the backside. I had a great end of the week last week. I got to go hear Megan Murphy, Big Red, sing at Mary's Attic, which was so much fun. You know, she's in this hit show right now at Black Ensemble Theater, Doo-Wop to Hip Hop, where she has gotten like the most genius reviews, and I'm going to pop out and see the show this coming week. So I'm so excited to go see her. But, you know, she ran down from Black Ensemble Theater to Mary's Attic, and a lot of her doo-wop gang came down, and it was fun. It was a really great time to be at Mary's, and I'm going to be so excited to see her. And I went also this past weekend to see the fantastic and just incomparable, and might I say, sexiest dance company that there is, which is the Alvin Ailey Dance Theater, was at the Auditorium Theater. And it's really an annual event for me. I did not get to go last year because I was performing. And, you know, sometimes it's fantastic to be in a show, but you don't get to see shows when you're in a show. And I was so excited to get to go to Alvin Ailey and watch them. And it's just glorious. I mean, they did a number of pieces from the late 90s. And then, of course, they did Revelations, which is their landmark dance. It's like a spiritual experience. It's used with old spirituals and so, so beautiful. Piece they've been performing now for decades and decades and decades, like 30 or 40 years. And I just think that If you've never seen Revelations, I hope you have an opportunity to see Alvin Ailey or maybe look at it on YouTube, but there's nothing like seeing it in person. And I'm telling you, I mean, I'm a lesbian, but the black men and the black women in this cast, and now, you know, they do have a little bit of diversity. They've got some people who are not African-American, but oh my God, they're just so beautiful. They're so beautiful. There's just so much soul and heart and passion and heritage and technique and artistry in what they do. So I'm a big fan, big fan. And it was a great, great experience. And I hope that you all are looking toward fun things because it's springtime and we're almost, you know, we lost this hour, which has just messed me up still. I still feel like I'm catching up from this hour lost. And maybe it's too that we've had kind of a colder week and a bit grayer week last week. But I don't know. But I also know that it's because the taxes are looming. And I've been slowly but surely working on my taxes. And I am hoping, folks, I'm hoping podcast fans that I get these in the mail this week. My goal is to get them in the mail by Tuesday. And because I have my tax man in Tennessee. Tax man in Tennessee. There's a lot of alliteration there. Tennessee taxes. So I am trying to get those together and send them down. And I think once I do that, I will breathe a huge sigh of relief. Don't get scared, folks. You still have like a month, little less than a month now. But I'm just going to be, it's a little tax tip to start working on them or start gathering receipts or start making sure you have all your W-2s or whatever you get make those conversations, you know, about possibly putting some money away. You can do that at this time as well. Well, looking at today's show, it is imminent. This conversation about same-sex marriage has been in our news stories week after week after week. I mean, honestly, it's been a topic since 1998 when I started working in radio and with Hawaii. And now, you know, we've seen 9 states across the United States who recognize us. We have civil unions here in Illinois, but that's not enough. It's not sufficient. The fight is going for full marriage equality in the state of Illinois. We have talked about it since the new year as it passed through the House, the Senate committee and the House committee, and now it is pending being voted on in the House. And so I'm really happy that today I have Jim Bennett on. Jim is an old friend, and our lives have crossed many, many times over the past decade especially. And he's a good friend of Windy City Media and Windy City Times and the radio and Queercast. And so he is the Midwest director for Lambda Legal and has really been a wealth of, you know, a resource and a wealth of information and so much fight in him to tell our story and to have us have our day of equality in the state of Illinois. So Jim Bennett's on with us today. We're going to kind of just do the 411 on what is going on with this fight for same-sex marriage in Illinois, what the history of getting it to this point where we are today is, and what still has to happen. And in doing that, I hope too that we're going to talk about kind of on a federal level because there is a big case coming up here the end of March, the last week of March in the Supreme Court around Prop 8 and DOMA. So we'll be talking about that as well. Plus what's going on in the GLBT news, big news story. I mean, continuing, we are changing minds and hearts in even some of the people who we might think are totally on the other side of the line from us. And we are garnering new allies. That's in our news today. Also, what's going on in the theater scene. And I can't wait to tell you, too, about some shows that I'm going to go see this week. So, it's going to be a good show full of information and fun.
I'm Kurt Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. U.S. Senator Rob Portman of Ohio, a Republican, is now supporting same-sex marriage after his son Will, a junior at Yale University, told him that he is gay. Portman now wants the United States Supreme Court to invalidate the Defense of Marriage Act's declaration that marriage is only between a man and a woman. Instead, Portman said he would prefer that it be left to the states to decide the definition of marriage.
The FBI will investigate the homicide of black openly gay Clarksdale, Mississippi mayoral candidate Marco McMillan as a possible hate crime. On February 27th, his body was found naked, bruised, swollen, and burned near the Mississippi River. The sheriff's department charged 22-year-old Lawrence Reed with murder. Mississippi has a hate crime law that covers race, religion, and gender. However, it doesn't extend to sexual orientation.
In Ohio, a federal jury awarded gay man David Ayers $13.2 million after he spent 11 and a half years in prison for a murder he did not commit. The verdict award is among the top 10 ever in the country for a wrongful conviction case. Ayers, now 56, had no prior arrests and had no physical evidence linking him to the crime. However, he was charged and eventually sentenced to life in prison for the 1999 murder of an elderly citizen, Dorothy Brown.
After a political blog attempted to out Charleston County, South Carolina council member Colleen Condon, she came out of the closet herself. Condon announced to her colleagues that she is gay after a local blog published a post that alleges she left her husband on adulterous terms in a lesbian relationship. Condon was married for 15 years until she and her husband divorced amicably in 2011.
Nearly two-thirds of Latino voters support allowing same-sex couples equal immigration rights. The number flies in the face of the stereotype that Latinos are more socially conservative than average.
Lesbian New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn made her mayoral run official. Quinn initially made the announcement in a five-minute video on her campaign website. Quinn was elected to the city council in 1999 after 5 years as the head of the New York City Anti-Violence Project, which focuses on the LGBT community.
Eagleside Elementary School in Fountain, Colorado, has rejected a mediation in a civil rights case asking the school to allow six-year-old transgender student Coy Mathis to use the girls' bathroom at her school. The Fountain Fort Carson School District 8 told Mathis' parents that the first grader would no longer be able to use the girls' bathroom.
Thousands of same-sex marriage supporters are expected to attend a March 26 rally at the U.S. Supreme Court as justices hear oral arguments on a case that challenges the constitutionality of California's Prop 8. The Human Rights Campaign, the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, Marriage Equality USA, the Family Equality Council, Get Equal, and GLAAD are among the groups who will organize the event under the United for Marriage banner.
In Colorado, the State House passed a civil unions bill on March 12th by a 39-26 House vote, with two Republicans joining all Democrats to approve it. Democratic Governor John Hickenlooper has said that he plans to sign civil unions into law. The law will take effect May 1st.
In Atlanta, Emory University has booted Chick-fil-A from its campus. Emory's LGBT alumni group sent a letter to campus president James Wagner. Seven campus LGBT groups followed suit, and the student association passed a resolution urging the college to reconsider Chick-fil-A as a campus eatery.
In Florida, the Lake County School Board voted 3-2 against a proposed policy that would have banned all non-academic clubs, instead opting for a rule that would require students to obtain parental permission for club membership. The board had considered banning all clubs in response to the effort to Leesburg 8th grader Bailey Silverstein to establish a gay-straight alliance at Carver Middle School. More than 55,000 people signed a petition urging the board not to ban all organizations.
Prominent feminist and out bisexual Kate Millett will be inducted into the National Women's Hall of Fame October 12th. Millett will join more than 200 other inductees since the hall was founded in 1969.
One of the nation's leading gay cure groups, the National Association for Research and Therapy of Homosexuality, or NARTH, has lost its tax-exempt status. The change in status is because the group failed to file proper documentation for the past 3 years.
In Florida, Democrat John Paul Alvarez and Republican-turned-Democrat Scott Herman, both openly gay, filed to run for state representatives in Tallahassee. Despite being a Republican for 23 years, Herman said his social views were always more aligned with the Democratic Party, as he believes in full equality for the LGBT community. Both candidates ran in 2012 and lost.
In world news, Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio, 76, of Buenos Aires, Argentina, was elected to be the 266th Pope of the Catholic Church on March 13th, taking the name Pope Francis. The new Pope is seen as a champion of the poor. However, his stance is reportedly quite different when it comes to LGBT rights. Francis took a firm public stance against the legalization of same-sex marriage.
The Vatican apparently is the majority owner of an apartment block that houses Italy's largest gay bathhouse. It's true. In addition, Ivan Cardinal Diaz lives in a 12-room apartment one floor above Europa Multi Club, which has everything from a Turkish bath to massages to bear parties.
Anti-gay German Mayor Helmut Müller has lost his seat to openly gay candidate Sven Gehrig of the Social Democratic Party. Gehrig, 38, became mayor of Wiesbaden in Hesse by garnering 50.8% of the vote over Mueller's 49.2%.
Queen Elizabeth II has signed a historic pledge to promote gay rights and gender equality. The Commonwealth Charter clarifies that we are implacably opposed to all forms of discrimination, whether rooted in gender, race, color, creed, political belief, or other grounds.
Hamburger Mary's is going international. The burger franchise system, known for bringing together gourmet half-pound burgers and drag queens, just announced its 13th location will be in Berlin. Hamburger Mary's Berlin will be on the ground floor of Axel Hotel Berlin, right in the heart of Berlin's Schöneberg neighborhood. The area has been the center of gay nightlife in Berlin since the 1920s.
Covering and defining gay nightlife and culture in Toronto since its Pride Weekend premiere issue in 1994, Fab is folding after 19 years. The final issue of Fab will be released on April 24th.
In entertainment news, Adam Lambert will be the headline performer at the 5th annual Miami Beach Gay Pride Parade and Festival, Sunday, April 14th. Lambert's 2012 album, Trespassing, bettered his first album by debuting at number one on the Billboard Top 200 chart.
The Emmy Award-winning Ellen DeGeneres Show has been renewed through the 2016-17 season. Ellen is the number one syndicated talk show, tied with Dr. Phil, for the 2012-13 season among women ages 25 to 54.
Agneta Salskog, who is a member of the 70s singing group ABBA, is coming out of retirement to release her first album in almost a decade. The 62-year-old singer's record company has said the release, called simply A, would come out May 13th.
Al Pacino and Helen Mirren will star in HBO film's Phil Spector, which will air March 24th. The film, which David Mamet wrote, explores the client-attorney relationship between legendary music producer Phil Spector, played by Pacino, and defense attorney Linda Kenny Baden, played by Mirren, who represented Spector during his first trial for murder.
Gay adult film actor Wilfried Knight committed suicide. Reportedly, it happened just 2 weeks after husband Jerry Enriquez also took his own life. Knight was a French citizen who married Enriquez, a United States citizen, in Canada in 2011. However, the so-called Defense of Marriage Act made it impossible for Enriquez to sponsor Knight for spousal-based citizenship in the United States.
The Pet Shop Boys left Parlophone Records after 28 years and signed a global deal to release the duo's forthcoming studio album, Electric, through Cobalt Label Services. Electric will be released in June. The British duo had 4 UK number one singles and 42 top 30 singles and have sold more than 50 million albums worldwide.
And the New York Post was not allowed to cover the red carpet for the March 16th GLAAD Media Awards in New York, honoring Anderson Cooper and featuring Madonna, because of the publication's history of transgender bashing. GLAAD invited Post editors to a meeting to discuss their coverage, which included frequent references to trannies and she-males. The newspaper turned down the meeting, leading the media watchdog organization to bar the Post from the event. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, you're listening to Lucy Lawless on Windy City Queercast with my favorite gal, Amy.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 18th, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Don't miss the Midwest premiere of Naomi Iizuka's Concerning Strange Devices from the Distant West, now playing at Chicago's award-winning Timeline Theater. Critics recommend this stunning, sensual puzzle box of a play, calling it a smart, shimmering, and eye-popping production. Save $5 off regular price tickets when you apply code WINDY5. Visit timelinetheater.com.
Lifeline Theater continues its 30th anniversary season of Big Stories Up Close with a world premiere adaptation of China Mieville's thrilling crime novel, The City and the City. For tickets and more, visit lifelinetheater.com. The City and the City runs at Lifeline Theater now through April 7th.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
My mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars. She rolled my hair, put my lipstick on, in a glass of her boudoir. There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, 'cause he made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far.
Well, folks, Illinois is just one step away from same-sex marriage here with a vote in the House perhaps this week. And Jim Bennett is the Midwest Regional Director of Lambda Legal. He has been on the front lines of this fight for quite a while now. And I am thrilled to have Jim on the podcast. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I am good. How are you, my friend?
I am good. Now, full disclosure, my friend, you were my co-host on the Windy City Radio. And now you've gone on to make something of yourself. Thank God. I'm still
thank
here,
God.
but you've been making some noise in Springfield, which, I think is your hometown, right?
It is.
Yeah. And so going back home, clanging the cans, and also around Illinois working for Lambda Legal. So first of all, let me just say thank you for that work, because it's really brought some news stories to us and some changes, and we're moving down a path, and hopefully to some victory this week. Some people may think this vote in the House for same-sex marriage, the last step on this journey, may seem like it was all of a sudden, but it takes a long time to get where we are right now, right?
Oh, it's been going on for a while. I think Lambda Legal first had a marriage case ready for Illinois in 2004, and we were trying to decide between starting with Illinois or Iowa, and we ended up going with Iowa, which worked out well.
Right.
And then in 2009, we prepared the case again, and then that helped lead to the civil unions that passed. And then we finally launched the case a year after that, so that was probably just May of last year, where Lambda and ACLU have 25 couples that we represent, and they are suing for the freedom to marry. And then after this election, you know, last November, when, you know, the gays just won everywhere, right? Like we won,
right.
You know, the four ballot initiatives, Tammy Baldwin won, you know, we had a key judge that was retained in Iowa, and everyone began to think like we can do this legislatively in the Illinois Assembly. And so we had our couples down there in right around Thanksgiving, and I think we're really closing in on the final vote in the next few days.
So with the last election, that really created some that kind of created a litmus that you could tell that the tides were turning, that put some fire under your belly?
Yeah, exactly. So we had, you know, we had lost ballot initiatives when marriage was on the ballot in 31 out of 31 states.
I mean,
so when we were going into November, there was a lot of hope that, especially in Washington and Maine, that we would win those ballot initiatives and marriage would start in those states. But then Maryland, the gays put it on the ballot, and that was the first time that we've ever proactively put it on the ballot. And then in Minnesota, they were trying to turn back an anti-gay referendum. And in all of those states, we won. And also, and we didn't think we would. Certainly in Minnesota, that was going to be really close. And it was a healthy win. And then we realized after that election, too, I think, you know, for both sides, but for the Republicans especially, I think they've learned, you know, hopefully in Illinois, that they are on the wrong side of history.
Yeah.
And you really want to be casting a ballot, like our no vote on marriage, when people are going to look back, if not right now, in a couple years, and just think, like, why would you have been voting against just basic equality? Mm-hmm. And so when we took our couples down in Thanksgiving, there were just some amazing stories. We had one of our couples talk to a Republican senator who had voted against us in civil unions, and she had said that her kids had been calling her, you know, names and things like that for voting against it. And she's like, I am not going to allow this to continue if this marriage vote comes up. And we had people that have really wanted, you know, like Jim Darby and Patrick Bova. Jim Darby's this, he's 81 years old. They've been together 50 years. He's our lead plaintiff in the case and a war veteran. And when they've gone around and talked to people, they have had this incredible response. And so we really felt like we can make this happen. And so Lambda Legal with Equality Illinois and ACLU, and now there's easily, I think, 70 other organizations. And then a lot of groups have never been in this fight before, like the Urban League of Chicago's played an incredible role. There's a lot of businesses and corporations that have been great. And people are ready for this to get done.
So when you said earlier that Lambda Legal kind of identified Iowa and Illinois, obviously Iowa, for many reasons, you know, was next based on the judges, I guess that was the main reason there. Is that correct?
Yeah, Iowa has a real history of doing the right thing and usually doing it through the courts. So they were the first state to desegregate schools, you know, decades before Brown versus Board of Education. It was the first state where a woman could become a lawyer. It's the first state where a slave, if they made it to a northern state, could not be taken back by their owner. Once they made it to Iowa, they were free.
Right.
And so there's a proud history of being on the correct side of civil rights struggles. And for Lambda, we always knew that the marriage fight to really sort of hit its turning point was going to have to find its way in the heartland. You know, you had people that would say, well, you know, we've seen this happen on the East and West Coast, that it's never going to be in the Midwest. So when Iowa happened in 2009, it was, I think, earth shattering for some. You know, for us, it was sort of common sense.
Right.
And Illinois is the same. You know, I mean, Illinois, you know, I mean, it's definitely a Midwest state, and we have a lot of, you know, a lot of our state's rural, and we also have Chicago, and it's a state that, you know, of President Lincoln and President Obama and, you know, Jane Addams. And so this is sort of the logical place where we start moving the heartland a little bit further to the left.
So Illinois, I mean, we as a state, for those listening in other states or around the world, Illinois has continued to advance equality and rights and protections for GLBT people in areas of workplace, second parent adoption. I mean, these things have all flowed through and you know, Lambda Legal has a great website, and on their website, you can go state to state and kind of see, like, how am I protected as an LGBT person, you know, in my state? And Illinois is kind of on the right side of all of that. You know, one of the big things was that, you know, as you mentioned too, that, you know, we have civil unions in Illinois, and that was fairly recent. What do you say to people of why civil unions are not enough?
Well, it's a pretty easy argument because, my partner Terry, and if I say to someone, you know, I really want to civilly unite Terry, it means different things to different people. Some don't even know what it means. And if I say I want to marry Terry, then whether, you know, you're in agreement with gays and lesbians marrying or not, everyone understands what that means. It's
right.
A universal commitment. And so when you look at like civil unions and the people that have civil unions now, the rights and protections statewide are great. I mean, they're equal to marriage in terms of what the law says. But we have couples. There's a couple. We have Teresa and Mercedes that have two kids, and one of their sons was in a hospital, and they thought he was dying. They thought he had kidney failure, and they would not let the second mother in the hospital room because they said the real mom was already in the room with him. Mm-hmm. And she had a civil union. She was able to show it to him. And the hospital administrator just didn't even understand or know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And we have cases like that all over Illinois. And then you also have kids that aren't even able to say their parents have been together forever, and they're not able to say that my parents are married, and it creates a stigma and a second class status that just never has worked in this country, and it's not working now.
Yeah.
And so it was a great step forward. It certainly has put you know, important rights and protections in place, but it's not marriage.
Right.
And you know, our assumption, you know, and you know, we're very optimistic about the cases before the Supreme Court that are helping to tear down the Defense of Marriage Act. Well, we think that definitely one will probably rule in our place. We could tell, definitely,
right.
Hopefully, maybe, perhaps,
yeah.
One. But we do believe that the states that have marriage will get the full set of protections and responsibilities, you know, pensions and Social Security and all that. But your state has to have marriage.
Right.
And so, you know, our hope is that we'll be able to have all of that in place by the end of June.
So... let me clarify, because sometimes, you know, I think for people who don't maybe understand all of how states' rights and federal rights work, there may be some confusion. And you bring up another great point, which we should state, is that the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, because of, well, a number of things, I would say, Proposition 8 in California.
Right.
The controversy around Prop 8, and I talked about this in the podcast last week, that I was able to be a part of the Oak Park reading of 8, and there's been a reading of the play 8 up at Northwestern and at the Goodman, and I think it's so great that this play is being done around the U.S. so people hear some of these arguments and understand at least what happened in California and what it means for that state and what it means for LGBT people and what it means on a federal level. So Prop 8 happened, and then, you know, we have the Defense of Marriage Act, which was came into being during the Clinton administration. And correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, Jim, but it was in the Clinton administration. And so now the U.S. Supreme Court is going to hear arguments about whether or not the Defense of Marriage Act is constitutional or unconstitutional. And so that is the case that
right.
Supposedly we're supposed to be hearing it this month, right? Later in March.
Yeah, the 25th and 26th of March.
Excellent. So since that was kind of announced, we've now had President Obama, the first ever sitting, you know, president, say he supports same-sex marriage. You know, mayors and states and corporations and companies and cities and. You know, what's the legalese? Like, they or a bunch of people that they could say, hey, yeah, I'm in support of that, and they could file a brief or something
right.
by a certain date?
Well, and the president, I mean, how proud are we of him?
Like, of course.
Because when he, even just the announcement, his personal announcement that he was in favor of marriage was great. But since then, the Justice Department will not defend DOMA and the amicus. And then you can file amicus briefs. So there's the cases go to court, but amicus briefs are friends of the court. So there are other people that are not directly related to the mm-hmm. case, but they feel like they have something important to say and they want to submit a brief.
Right.
And so the president has done that, but you also have this group of conservatives, and most of them were conservatives that were out of power, and
right.
so, you know, typical sort of with the Republicans. But now you have that guy Portman, Senator Portman, whose son came out a couple years ago, and he just flipped on marriage.
Right.
You have all these business leaders, and they're all filing these briefs, and there's two cases before the Supreme Court, but the one that sort of really goes to the heart of things in terms of these federal benefits is this Edie Windsor case. It's called the Windsor case. But Edie Windsor was this woman who was in a relationship with the same lady for 40 years. They were legally married in New York. Her partner died, and then Edie was handed this tax bill of, you know, something like $400,000, where if you were a heterosexual couple married, you would just have your grief to deal with, but you wouldn't be handed a bill for the estate that you've built up together over the last 40 years.
Mm.
And I think it illustrates the issue really well. And even for conservatives that have these states' rights arguments that we hear, this is a state rights case. You know, it's New York saying, look, we want to offer equal rights to everyone in our state, equal marriage rights, and we're not able to do it because of this ridiculous federal law. And when you have so many people and so many really respected scholars and politicians and saying, this is not constitutional, this is not what America is. So
right.
We feel very good about these cases, even with the conservative nature of the court.
So I guess, you know, so Illinois' vote, you know, will happen before these arguments are heard, probably, or possibly. So can you talk about one without the other? I mean, let's go to the federal case first, and then we'll bring it back down to our home. So if DOMA is found unconstitutional, okay, and we have those 31 states or amendments that were passed in previous elections that you were talking about, where, you know, they say marriage is between a man and a woman, and that's what we recognize. And then you have states like New York and Maine and other states who have said marriage, we approved same-sex marriage. What does DOMA being found unconstitutional do to those different states? Do they still have the ability to how do states' rights work then with federal rights, I guess is what I'm asking, because that's the biggest question people ask me, and I'd rather you answer it.
there's two things that DOMA does. One, DOMA allows the federal government to discriminate against gay and lesbian couples, so they do not have to offer any of the federal benefits, so Social Security and the estate tax and Medicare or Medicaid. None of that has to be offered to the partner. The second part of DOMA is it allows states not to recognize the marriages from other states. So if you're a opposite sex couple and you're married anywhere in the country or the world, it's recognized everywhere in the country or the world.
Right.
And with gay and lesbians, it's only recognized in other states that have marriage for same-sex couples. So the two cases going before the Supreme Court, the Windsor case goes after the federal benefits piece, and our assumption is that if that gets struck down, states that have marriage will be allowed to have all the federal benefits. The second case is the Prop 8 one that came out of California, who had banned marriage after they had it through a constitutional ballot initiative, and then Prop 8 challenged the validity of that decision. And no one quite knows what's going to happen with that case. And in fact, it was a bit of a surprise that they took it up, because if they would not have taken that case at all, it would have meant that the lower court would have, their decision would have stood, and so marriages would have started again in California, but it wouldn't affect other states. They could rule in a variety of ways. So, you know, the extreme in our favor would be that they could say all, you know, the gays and lesbians have a constitutional right to marry, and they could invalidate all of these constitutional amendments across the country. And then people in Tennessee could start getting married right away. We don't think that's likely. We, you know, the court usually does not get too far ahead of public opinion, and they don't, and, you know, they usually like to sort of be the last ones to come in after sort of public opinion has made its decision. And it could go against us, and it could set the movement back quite a ways if they ruled against us. And our best guess, and it's a guess, is that they'll fall somewhere in between. That you know, we think that it will be very likely that that it will allow marriages to begin again in California, and then what the court may do is just sort of hint at a path. You know, their language may hint at a path that allows states to start, you know, one, looking like states that have civil unions and looking at upgrading so that their people can get benefits, and sort of outline for future cases how we start tearing down these constitutional amendments, you know, to move forward. But that one is a little bit of a mystery. And when they'll have their hearings on the 25th and 26th, and then by the end of June, Pride Week,
yes,
we will we'll know the decisions on those. And then the way that Illinois fits in,
yep,
you know, the thing about the court is you want the decision. They need to know that there's real lives impacted. So when they looked at the Defense of Marriage Act and Clinton signed that into law, there wasn't one state that offered marriage in the country. And so it was a theoretical issue. It was easy to rule or make a decision on that, I mean, or vote on it, when it didn't affect anyone. Right. Now you have 9 states that offer marriage. And our goal as sort of part of the movement has been to have as many people that could get married as possible, so that when they make their decision, that all weighs in it. And when you have Illinois join the column of states that have marriage, you know, we're the third most populous state. And so, and we know tons of gays and lesbians.
Just you and I know tons of gays and lesbians.
So there's going to be a lot of couples that are married. And it's also, Illinois plays a certain role too, because it's a really clear signal that, not just since November, but after, it's just an avalanche of support that's headed our way. And I think the court's mindful of that. And, you know, we have a very young Chief Justice who's going to be around, and he has to know at some level that if they rule in a negative manner, it's just going to keep coming back, because it's so clear that the tide has turned for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're going to do all right. I think we'll do okay.
So it doesn't make it any less exciting, obviously, what you have. Do you believe the vote will happen this week in Illinois?
I'm not positive. I think if you asked me by the end of April, I would say with almost near certainty that we'll succeed. But I don't know about next week. It's really, you know, there's so many different factors in terms of the other. You know, they have pension reform. I actually feel like we're some of the least controversial issues before them when they're looking at pension reform and the gun control measures that they have to take on this year. But everything is moving in our favor, and we were down in Springfield almost every week since Thanksgiving. But last week, we were having people that didn't want to meet or visit any of our couples that were asking to talk to people again, and votes that we thought were never within reach. And now they really want to be a part of this. And I honestly think the greatest thing in our favor are people's children, because mm-hmm. more and more we keep hearing, like, my kids will kill me if I vote the wrong way on this issue, or we find out that some incredibly conservative representative has a gay, you know, son or daughter, and they want their kids to have all the same rights. And
yeah.
So I feel pretty good. I mean, it really is an exciting time, and a lot of the support has come because people really have been calling their representatives and senators, and you just can't, once you know us, because we're so awesome, you know, but once you know these gays and lesbians and they become your friends and your neighbors and you hang out with them, then it's very hard to vote against it, because it's because now these are people that, you know, their lives are in many ways in your hand, and it takes nothing away from them to offer equality to us. So,
So potentially what I hear you saying is the vote may not happen this week, but I mean, it's so close that we're going to start. Will we have a temperature of what's going on the Hill in D.C.? Will we be able to tell kind of how people are feeling after the 25th and 26th and those arguments being heard? Will that impact Illinois and what people start, how hard people start working and pushing in Springfield?
I think so. I don't know how, I don't think it can get much more intense in Springfield. And I do, you know, I would put our chances at a vote next week at better than 50%.
Okay.
And then each week we go by, it gets stronger. But they'll go on vacation. They work next week at the Illinois Assembly, and then they're gone for 2 weeks for their spring break. And that is when the Supreme Court will argue. And I think we will have a pretty good sense. I mean, everyone's watching Kennedy because he's the swing votes. And if you read these briefs, and they're pretty interesting briefs to read, but if you read the briefs, they're love letters to Justice Kennedy. They're you know, they quote him, and you know, he was the deciding vote in the Lawrence case that struck down all the anti-sodomy laws. He was the key vote in the Colorado case that allowed us to be able to use the court, you know, for to seek justice. And so, you know, people feel pretty favorable. And then there's going to be attention to Roberts, because especially after his ruling on Obamacare, you know, there's a sense that he has, you know, sort of an open mind and sort of a view of how he's going to be measured by history. And then the interesting other one is Scalia, because even though he's rarely, if ever, a friend of progressive causes, he's solidly on the argument of state rights, and these cases are being argued on state rights. So it'll be interesting to see what all of those guys say. And I hope that Illinois is in place prior to that, but I think even if it's not, you know, they're going to be, once the oral arguments happen, you know, they have 3 months roughly before they make their decision. So for Illinois to fall, you know, towards equality anytime during that will definitely be a good push.
So how can we help, Jim? What can people do here in Illinois to support your efforts, to support the many different organizations' efforts trying to help make same-sex marriage happen in our state?
For me, all I need is Sour Patch Kids. That's what saved me during these hard days. It is true.
I love Sour Patch Kids. They're the perfect food. They're
so
very
much.
Quiet, and you can eat them in a courtroom trial, I'm sure.
Oh, they're so good. And they have extreme ones now.
Oh.
But there's two websites. The coalition is under illinoisunites.com, and then Lambda Legal, which also leads to that same one, is lambdalegal.org/ilove. But the key is call your representatives. Like, there's nothing more valuable except for a visit. You know, if you have a chance to visit them, and certainly if we don't get this done next week, you know, they're going to be in their offices in their districts for 2 weeks, and it's much easier to get a hold of them then. Mm-hmm. But and if you can come down to Springfield, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays, those are the good days to be there. But it's really making sure that they're hearing from us as much as they're hearing from our opposition.
Are there key areas and key representatives that you want to give a shout out here that you need phone calls to?
I would say anyone. I mean, certainly if there's Republicans that people are have that represent them, those are really important calls, because I really believe that I would almost argue that the majority of Republicans want to join us, and they're sort of afraid of these very conservative people in their own party, but they want to do it, and they're trying to find a way. And so if there's a connection there, the African American caucus is key, and they've been really supportive, but it's really good for them to hear those voices as well. But even our, even the bill sponsors, I think, you know, Senator Staines, who is our Senate sponsor, had told me that she was getting all of these calls from churches that were against it. And I told her, well, you know, I go to church every week, or not really every week, but somewhat. And I go, you know, there's many reasons of people in the church that are supportive. And I think they need to hear those stories too, so that they can start telling their constituents. And, you know, I remember the senator telling me she sees part of her job as educating people that are not where they need to be on this issue. And when she has other stories and other examples of families that that are supportive, it makes her job easier. And these people are working hard for us. You know, we're so lucky in Chicago to have really strong principled leadership that are working on our issues on a variety of things, you know, whether it's immigration or women's rights or reproductive rights. And we sort of take it for granted. And then I get downstate and I'm like, oh, right.
You're living in a bubble.
Exactly. So, I mean, there's nothing more you could do. I mean, certainly, and you could write checks to any of our organizations, and that helps. And the nice thing is, and I can say it with complete sincerity, is that every group, Lambda Legal, Equality Illinois, ACLU, Freedom to Marry, HRC, you know, People for the American Way, Anti-Defamation League, Civil Rights Agenda, everyone's been great. And even Windy City, we had Windy City Times had run stories of the plaintiff couples over the summer, and they put together this supplement that we were able to hand out to all the senators and reps, and it had these beautiful color pictures of all the families and a little biography on each one. And more I go into people's offices, and they've cut out like one of the couples that had come to visit them, and it was really, you know, it was really emotional for them, and they wanted to remind themselves. And just so many people and so many groups have played an amazing part, and we're very lucky because we're very close to the finish line.
So we should not think that we should not think it's a hopeless case if we have a representative that we see as very conservative or possibly we think not on this side. Go ahead and call, let them, because I think what's so great, and if you check out lambdalegal.org/iloves website, you'll see the plaintiffs. And, you know, these are not, you know, the wonderful things about these cases is that this is not a case on theory. It's not a case on words on a page. It's people's lives. And there's a very good way to humanize this story the plaintiff's stories, but also by adding your voice. So even if we have somebody we think is really conservative, you're saying go. Let them at least know your story. Send them a photograph with a letter or stop in. Let them see your face. Or even if you have somebody and you're like, oh, my gosh, my state rep is gay. Like, of course, they're going to vote for it. Just to kind of shore them up and continue to give them stories so that they have those stories and those reasons.
Exactly. If you look at the senator, there was one Republican senator that joined us and voted for marriage. And he was a conservative, and if you would have been there in the when they voted, I mean, people gasped when he stood up because he gave a really beautiful speech before he voted with us. But it was a surprise because he's considered one of the most conservative members of the Senate. But for him, the issue of protecting families and letting them protect and respect, you know, their commitment is a conservative value, right. And so I. There's always a couple people sort of on the fringe on the left or right, depending on the party. But I have found that even people that have told us they're against us have been respectful to people when they call or visit. And if they're not, then have them call me and we will follow up later.
So how this may seem like a fundamental question, but it's just good to give the fundamentals. For somebody's like, well, I don't even know who my state rep is, or I wouldn't even know how to go, like, walk into their office, or I wouldn't even know, you know, who I should call or who I should email.
Sure.
What's the resource, Jim?
On both websites, it'll link to call. You'll see a call your rep button, and you just type in your address. It'll give you their phone numbers and address. It'll even hook up to an email that you can just do directly from that. And if you're in Springfield, you can just go to their office, and if they're able to come to Springfield, they can call any of our groups, and we'll sort of we'll have someone with them if that provides a more comfort level, but you just wait to see them, and you tell them you're talking to them about support of Senate Bill 10, and really you're just telling your story. It's funny because I'm down there for Lambda Legal, and every now and then someone wants an analysis of the bill or something like that, but I end up far more sharing my coming out story or Terry's story, you know, who came from this very religious background and how his family came to support him, or just that I want to marry him. The issues are the most personal to us, and that's what moves people, is people just telling who they are and why they want this. And I have to say it's been an amazingly positive experience for, I think, everyone that's gone down. So
Great.
Love to see you, Amy. Come on down.
I know. Well, I have definitely sent a lot of emails and with the Senate and with the House, and, you know, and wonderful today now that we have Facebook. So it's very simple that way to like some of these organizations on your Facebook page or your Twitter. And that way they can stay in communication with you when they need signatures or they need our voices, or they make it so simple if you're just kind of connected and looped in.
Yep.
So definitely go to any of these organizations that Jim has mentioned. I mean, if you find one, they pretty much all link the others, and you can like them. And I even did that some this morning in prepping for this. I realized I just hadn't liked all of them, because sometimes I don't go and just add things to like, but it gets you on the information chain, and that's a good thing.
It is.
It's a really, really good thing. Jim Bennett is the Midwest Regional Director of Lambda Legal. He's a good man. He's a Sour Patch Kid addict, but we still love him. And please check out their website. We'll have it linked in our show notes, lambdalegal.org. No matter what state you're in, you can see what cases they're working on, and you can follow this story. Also, more specifically, lambdalegal.org/ilove, and you can follow exactly what's going on in Illinois as well. Jim, thanks so much, and I hope that once this next vote happens that we can have you on again and then follow up with this story.
I'll see you at my wedding in June.
I will be there with a big rainbow boa from the Pride Parade, having just left my float.
Nice.
Bye, Jim.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everyone, I'm off. I'm going to go see if I can get my taxes done. Oh, please, Lord, let me get them done. And as I kind of teased earlier, I can't wait to go see Megan Murphy this week in Black Ensemble Theater's Doo-Wop to Hip Hop. Hop on down and check out that show. That theater facility is beautiful and brand new, and I'll be telling you about it probably in the next show. And the Queens have arrived. Yes, the big pink truck, the big pink bus has arrived. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. I've never seen it on stage, live, the musical. And I'm heading down there with my favorite little leprechaun, whose birthday was on St. Pat's, Scott Ferguson. So heading down to Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and I hope you're heading to your state rep or making an email or a phone call and saying, please vote for us, please vote for our families, please vote for our love, please vote for our relationships. It makes a difference. You are not voting on a theory, you are voting on people, and you are holding our lives and our relationships and our protections and our rights in your hands. So do what you can to go to Lambda Legal, Equality Illinois, Freedom to Marry, the Human Rights Campaign somewhere, and see how you can lend your voice or even a few dollars if you can. This is an important fight, and we're right on the precipice. Have a great week, everyone, and talk to you next time. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.